Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard a this healing, of this cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And so my Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh yeah, sweet, sweet Jesus. Yes, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me, and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He blinds me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Yes, he blinds me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. In Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Yes, he plunged me to victory.
Daniel Webster rightly stated, "Hold on, my dear friends, to the Constitution and to the Republic for which it stands. Miracles do not cluster, and what has happened once in 6,000 years may not happen again. Hold on to the Constitution, for if the American Constitution should fail, there will be anarchy throughout the whole world." He also said, "I apprehend no danger to our country from a foreign foe. Our destruction, should it come at all, will be from another quarter. From the inattention of the people to the concerns of their government, from their carelessness and negligence. I must confess that I do apprehend some danger. I fear that they may place too implicit a confidence in their public servants and fail to properly scrutinize their conduct, that in this way they may be made the dupes of designing men and become the instruments of their own undoing. Make them intelligent and they will be vigilant. Give them the means of detecting the wrong and they will apply the remedy.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQRS TV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may miss, to the Sons of Liberty Radio, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to see who's on the right or the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live from the U.S.-occupied state of South Carolina, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and if you want to check us out, please do so, sonsoflibertyradio.com. Also, sonsoflibertymedia.com. In fact, if you are listening by way of the radio and you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. There's two videos at the top of the page. The one on the right side is this morning show. We had Mark Grennan on. He's a Christian missionary who was imprisoned here in the States. The United States actually paid to have him and his sons arrested in another country, preaching the gospel, bringing healing to people, and they claimed he was defrauding the United States. His sons are still in prison. If you missed that interview, go over there and listen to that. See if you can somehow maybe help Mark and his family as the sons are still in prison there. Mark is out, but check that out. That will be available up until 6 o'clock in the morning, which time will be live. By the way, we're going to have a lady from Minnesota who's going to be on with us, Lord willing, to talk about Real ID. And the lie that you're being told that you actually have to have that to fly, there are other means that you can do. So don't miss that. That'll be tomorrow morning. You guys who are on our radio stations here, you're on different radio, you're hearing on a different radio station than I am in the morning. So you would have to join us on Rumble or one of our outlets, or go to redstatetalkradio.com and you can pick me up there at 6 a.m. in the morning. On the left side is where we're at. Click on the play button, blow it up whatever device you got. Look for the Rumble icon. It'll be in the bottom right hand corner of that video. Click on that, and that'll take you over into Rumble, where we got a lot of friends this afternoon. Good afternoon, guys. Good to see you. And while you're there, please subscribe to the channel at Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble. We're also on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page over there, as well as dlive.tv at The Sons of Liberty, and a number of highly censored Facebook pages that bear my name. Good afternoon to you guys, as well as our new Sons of Liberty Media Facebook page, which we're starting to build back up again after we lost the one with about 750,000 followers on it during the convids. So yeah, we're building that up and we're streaming over there too. Thank you guys for joining us. By the way, if you're tuned in and you were looking for Bradley, he is down in Florida. They will be having an event tomorrow night. You can check that out. Sonsoflibertymedia.com, top of the page there. If you click on Bradley's schedule, it'll tell you exactly where you need to go. And we'll make mention of it tomorrow, Lord willing. Before that happens. Also, just want to let you guys know, those of you who, I guess, are on Facebook, you maybe follow me, we're going to be having a little bit of a, it's not a formal debate or anything, but there is going to be a discussion we're going to have. I think it begins at 7 o'clock. There's a lady who's really been, you know, attacking the sovereignty of God and salvation, and I don't know who she's dealing with, because some of the people that she references, they don't think like I do and like other people that I know that believe in that. But we're going to have that for about an hour tonight, a little interaction together. And if you're interested in checking that out, just head over to my Facebook page. I don't know how that's going to happen. It's going to happen on Purwall, I believe. So I'll be over there and we'll be doing that. That'll be later on tonight. But today I wanted to kind of address something, and somebody came in the chat on Rumble before we started. And the title for the show is Jesus Would Have Opposed the Modern Jewish State. And they're like, oh, trust me, he already has. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I'm just saying, if you go back, we're going to go back and we're going to look at how Jesus addressed the, if you want to say, the state of Israel at the time, the nation of Israel. And he was addressing them largely through those who were in leadership, those who were supposed to be the godly men, the high priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, they're supposed to be the guys who were leading Israel. And we're going to take a look at how he addressed them. And if you see that, and then you take a look at what's going on in the modern state of Israel today, and you see what these people are doing, I mean, they have the same mindset of the guys that Jesus addressed in the first century. And he was opposed to virtually everything they were doing. And we're going to see some of that here in just a little bit. I came across this, though. You know, we have been talking about the Pope here recently. You guys may remember that we had dealt with this, what they call the Star of David, right, on the flag. And yet, Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, he reminds them that this, let me just show it to you. Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch. Now keep that in mind, because I got a video I'm going to show you from 1933 in just a little bit. But you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rimphon, figures which ye made to worship them, and I'll carry you away into Babylon. And so that's Stephen recounting what they were doing and how God had called them out. What's interesting about this star of Rimphon is the tie back in here. Check this out. Anybody seeing that online? This is a picture. This was Ratzinger with his Dagon fish hat on. Notice what's all over that hat. Same thing that's on the Israeli flag. It's the same thing. The birds of a feather flocking together, right? So let's take a look at something, and then I want to go over and just make some mention of history, a little bit of history concerning Martin Luther. We're going to get into some of what Luther had to write too. A lot of people say, oh, you know, he was anti-Semitic and this, that, and the other. But you have to understand what Luther was doing. Luther actually was trying to win these people who called themselves Jews, but they were not. He tried to win them. He tried to win them with the gospel. And then he started to see what they were doing, how they viewed Christ, the just wickedness of what he was experiencing. And so he had some stuff to say, very reminiscent of what Jesus is saying here, if you ask me. And people want to say it's anti-Semitic. No, it's just pointing out the truth of what the people believe. And they still carry that on today. So if we go over into somewhere like John chapter 8, which is where we're going to be today, as well as a couple of other portions of Scripture. In John chapter 8, Jesus goes to address the Jews of the day, the ones who call themselves the children of Abraham, the Jews there. And it's real interesting, he's not playing nicey-nice patty cake with them either. And we're going to get to that on the other side of the break. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Hello, WPNN 790 AM and 103.7 FM. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Just a quick heads up and invitation. We are coming back to Pensacola to face off with them that didn't want you to hear what it is that they have failed to preach. We're going to be at Sonny's Barbecue, 630 North Navy Boulevard in Pensacola, Florida, Friday, April 25th at 6 p.m., and we hope to see you there.
Join us this year for Content Christian Media Conference. Join hundreds of filmmakers, actors, screenwriters, podcasters, and authors during this five-day, five-star event. Come expectant and leave equipped as a content creator for the kingdom of God. September 22nd through 26th at Capernaum Studios in Poolville, Texas. Register today at ChristianMediaConference.com. That's ChristianMediaConference.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble, our churches, our families. We need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
Let us not be found amongst the common herd, friends, as you are to be the compeers of angels. Nay, as you are far higher than they, and one with Christ, and as the precious blood has been your ransom price, walk as becometh saints.
BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. We're going to get into John chapter 8 here. Just keep in mind, let me just show you something that had come up here recently. Remember, I read there out of Acts chapter 7, Stephen's words, and he talked about they were worshiping Moloch. This is allegedly from 1933, a gathering in Chicago by those who called themselves Jews, and it's to simulate a child sacrifice to Moloch. This is some of what's going on here. It's very reminiscent to me of some of the videos that we've seen out at the Bohemian Grove out there in California. It's very similar to this kind of stuff. And this is what they're engaged in, simulating child sacrifice. By the way, when you go and you read some of this, I went to a website that was largely Jewish writings, but there was some other, I guess, Sanskrit and stuff that was there. But if you go and read some of the stuff, I mean, really, it's appalling. It's worse. Some of the stuff that I read there is worse than the stuff I've read from the Quran or the Hadith as far as what Islam and its founder had engaged in. I mean, they're talking about raping little three-month-old babies. The priests, not just anybody, the priests doing it, and trying to justify that kind of stuff. And look, that's not a stretch anywhere. We're going to read where Jesus addresses all of their wickedness, their cunning that they were doing there in the first century in Israel. And that's ultimately why they were judged in 70 AD, and that's why they were ultimately destroyed as a nation. What you see there now in the Middle East is not the Israel of God. The Israel of God is scattered throughout the world in every country, among every people, among every tribe, among every tongue. God has His people, and they are all Israel because they are in Christ. I mean, He's the really true Israel. He's the trunk of which Gentiles, Jews, everybody are put into. That's who He is. Read Romans chapter 11. He's the one who does that. And we give Him the glory for it. We don't hold ourselves. We don't put ourselves in the vine. And we don't hold ourselves in the vine. He's the one who does all of it. But John chapter 8, very interesting. He's been talking about Himself. He's been talking about the testimony that He bears. And in verse 19, here's what we read. Then said they unto Him, Where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, Ye neither know Me nor my Father. If ye had known Me, you should have known my Father also. And these words spake Jesus in the treasury as He taught in the temple. He wasn't saying this in some dark corner somewhere, right? He was saying it to their face in front of the people. And no man laid hands on Him, for His hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek Me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Again, cannot is an issue of ability. We're probably going to be discussing some of that stuff tonight as well, too. Then said the Jews, Will He kill Himself, because He saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? I lost my place there. The screen moved there just a little bit. And I lost where I was. Sorry about that. Because He saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And He said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for ye believe not that I am He. Ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto Him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. All right? So if we jump down just a little bit, you know I'm a stickler for context, but if we jump down just a little bit, I want to get kind of to where He continues to push them. Because I remember, you know, we planted a church many years ago over in Gastonia, North Carolina. And as we were going through the Gospel of Matthew, it became very apparent somewhere around chapter 20, that Jesus, once He started in on these guys, He didn't let up. He just kept giving it to them. It was a 1-2 punch every chapter, every verse that you read up until chapter 23, at which time He just said, I'm done with you. Here's the judgments. We're going to look at that in a second. Here's the judgments on you because you will not obey the Lord. And you won't believe Me. So here's the judgments on you. Woe to you. Woe to you. Woe to you. Somebody made mention in the chat of He called them snakes. Yeah, He did. He had a name for them, didn't He? Because they were what? Of their father, the devil, the serpent, the dragon, right? And that's what He referred to them as. In fact, He does that here. And they jump on that thing. They're like, oh, you can't talk to us this way, Jesus. He says, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. And they answered, we be Abraham's seed, verse 33 of John chapter 8, and we're never in bondage to any man. Weren't their forefathers in Egypt? Yeah, they were in Egypt. The Lord had to bring them out, right? Weren't they captives in Babylon for 70 years? Yep, they were captives of there too. Aren't they under the thumb of Rome and unable to exercise their own laws? Yep, that's why they were having to bring Jesus to Pilate. And yet they have the audacity to say, we've never been in bondage to any man. We're Abraham's seed. How sayest they, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. No, it's literally the slave of sin. They're the slave of sin. Their sin controls them. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's seed. He doesn't have a problem understanding that physically they come from that line. But what he says is, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. See, they didn't understand that the promised seed to Abraham to bless the nations with was himself. They did not understand it was talking about Jesus, which Paul elaborates on in Galatians chapter 3. They thought it was them, that just because they came from the loins or they joined Israel or whatever they did, that somehow they could say we're Abraham's seed in the spiritual sense, that he is their father, right? And Jesus is saying, no, that's not the way it works. So verse 39 says, then answered and said unto them, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We're not illegitimate like you are, Jesus. We know about you. Your mom and dad weren't even married when your mother was pregnant. That's what they're saying. And they said, we have one father, even God. But Jesus corrects them. If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot. That is a word of inability. They do not have the ability to understand what he is saying to them. Their minds are blinded. Okay? And you cannot hear my word is what Jesus said. And then he tells them who their daddy is. You're of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. So they go on and they claim he's got a devil and all this stuff. And then he just keeps giving it right back to them and confronting them and stirring them up because they won't repent. They won't repent. And finally, he says, look, before Abraham was, I am. Not I was, I am. These are the great I am sayings of Jesus in the Gospel of John. He is identifying himself as the one who made all things, the creator, the Elohim, the God that they claimed they were trying to serve, but nope, wouldn't take that up. And they took up stones to cast at him. But he hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. There he is addressing them. Now, on the other side of the break, we're going to come back. We're going to take a look at a couple of things, and we're also going to look at how Jesus addressed them and pronounced the judgments on them and relate that to what we see going on in modern-day Israel today. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. Hang on.
John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Hi, folks. Margie Bott here. Bradley Dean and this ministry are so amazing, and they follow God's words to a T, which is not an easy find in this country. Bradley shines a light on the darkness of the problems we all face. He speaks truth and gives us constitutional answers. I never miss a show.
Andrew Young, former mayor of Atlanta, said, you don't want to think of yourself as a martyr, but if you worship in a religion, Christianity, where the symbol of that religion is a cross, you are reminded every day of your lives that the cross is not something that you just hang on the wall. It's something that comes out as a result of confrontation with evil, and that when you face that confrontation with evil, you're likely to face the possibility with a physical death. But if you don't face that confrontation with evil, you inevitably face a spiritual death. Patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the said president or any other public representative, save exactly to the degree in which he himself stands by the country. It is patriotic to support him insofar as he efficiently serves the country. it is unpatriotic not to oppose him to the exact extent that by inefficiency or otherwise he fails in his duty to stand by the country. In either event, it is unpatriotic not to tell the truth, whether about the president or anyone else. President Theodore Roosevelt. The learned man lifts up his head while the simple man puts his foot down. Puts his foot down to inherit what Christ has given him. This is the way to inheritance, the kingdom of God. By criticisms, you may put your foot in it, but by faith, you put your foot on it.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747 and start making a difference in your world today.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
There are many self-proclaimed Christian commentators on TV, radio, and the internet, and none of them speak so plainly and tell the whole and uncompromising truth of God's word like Bradley Dean. Bradley applies the word of God to current events and news like no one else. So, if you want the unfiltered truth from an authentic Christian perspective, I can't recommend anyone higher than Bradley Dean and his team at the Sons of Liberty.
That's some screaming guitars in. I love it. I mean, I really do love it. Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Okay, I want to hit this right quick, and then I want to take you over because this is a part of the problem. And I'm going to read you just a little bit, I hope, by the end of the show, a little bit of Martin Luther, because Luther has been dragged through the mud over some of this stuff as far as some things he wrote in a book called The Jews and Their Lies. And remember, he's writing, you know, several hundred years ago about what he had dealt with in Germany. But everybody will say, oh, he's such an anti-Semite. He's such an anti-Semite. And he was the forerunner of Hitler and all this other stuff. I mean, I've heard it all with this stuff. But this is a report that came out, about 2 years ago. And it was regarding Israel. And they had proposed legislation that would outlaw talk about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Israel. Take a listen to this.
Conservative Christian leaders are calling on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to stop a bill proposed by members of his coalition to make it criminal to tell people about Jesus in Israel. Our Jerusalem correspondent Daniel Cohen is live near Tel Aviv with more. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, everyone. A big story just before, days before Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter. Sacred time for Christians. Two ultra-Orthodox members of Prime Minister Netanyahu's coalition have introduced a bill that would punish believers for sharing the gospel of Jesus with prison time. United Torah Judaism Knesset members Moshe Gafni and Yaakov Asher introduced legislation last week making it illegal to share in conversation or produce content online, in print, or by mail. Their explanation of the bill emphasizes a warning to stop Christians in particular. The punishment? 1 year in prison or 2 years for sharing with someone under the age of 18. Joel Rosenberg is the host of the Rosenberg Report and editor-in-chief of All Israel News. He's also a Jewish follower of Jesus.
Obviously, Jewish people don't agree with Christians, evangelicals or others, about who Jesus is, right? We all know that there's a theological difference. But evangelical Christians and other Christians have been so supportive of Israel and the Jewish people. So to silence, to muzzle, and gag even Israelis like myself and others to say, you can't talk to another person about your faith and why you believe it, that is terrible. That is not freedom.
Although he doesn't agree theologically, Netanyahu has always been a strong friend of evangelicals, speaking at meetings and believing freedom of speech and freedom for Israel's small Christian community should be protected. Now, should this bill gain traction, it could spark a serious clash with the 60 million evangelicals in the United States and 600 million around the world. Gaffney first introduced a ban on evangelism in 1999. It went nowhere. United Torah Judaism is in a stronger negotiating position now, though, since Netanyahu needs to keep the party in his coalition, or it could threaten Netanyahu's ability to remain in power. Allison, back to you.
Okay, all right.
So you hear the report here of what they had set up. Now, I didn't hear what had went on.
I didn't see a super chat. I just came there naturally.
There's Rumble doing whatever they want to do. So anyway, you heard that this is what they were set to do. And then they got the good side on you, didn't they? Benjamin Netanyahu's always been a promoter of freedom. And he's happy about this. And yet Benjamin Netanyahu was one of the guys who was used in the ethnic cleansing of Palestine to rid the land of the Palestinians. Yes, that's what they were called. Their passports. We've got them. We see them. Government of Palestine. We've seen the maps where it was called Palestine. And anybody telling you different is trying to cover up for the crimes of these Zionists who went in there and they killed Jews and they killed Muslims and they killed Christians in that area. All of them. And yet we're told, oh, he's for this. Yet he will push Noahide laws, which Donald Trump supports, which every one of our presidents since Ronald Reagan has supported. These Noahide laws are not biblical laws, and they do not allow for the worship of God in the Christian faith. They don't allow for that. In fact, they'll take your head off for it. We had a guy who came on the show, in the morning show, and he said, oh yeah, I'm for Noahide laws. I said, okay, so does that apply to Christians? He goes, well, yeah. He said, I hadn't really thought about it. He says, but you know, death penalty. And I said, he said, are you opposed to a death penalty? I said, I'm not opposed to the death penalty, as long as it coincides with what God has said in his word, and the person, there's witnesses against that person, or they're going to confess to it. I said, but this stuff with Noahide laws, I said, no. I said, no, that flies in the face not only of the Christian faith, but it flies in the face of even what men have erected here in the United States under the Constitution. It flies in the face of that. It's not law here. So when you have these kinds of people doing these things, and this is just one example. I can give you, we played the video before where the guys are all talking in their, I think it's a Yiddish, but they're speaking in their Hebrew tongue, and you have to go through it, and they're telling you how much they hate Christians, how much they would love to kill them if they just had, you know, the people to back them in that. They'd love to do that. Well, how did Jesus deal with those people? At the end of John chapter 8, we saw them. They were ready to stone him, and he got away, right? They wanted to kill Jesus. How did he continue to respond? Let's go to Matthew 23. Listen to the words of Jesus. And before you say, Tim, you need to be more like Jesus, and you need to be compassionate. Look, I am compassionate. I want to see those people know Christ too, just as much as I want to see Muslims know the Lord Jesus, as much as I want to see Buddhists and Hindus and self-professed atheists, agnostics, whoever, whatever stripe, whatever label you want to label yourself with, I want to see you know Jesus. That's why we do what we do here. It's not to put people down. It's to expose the corruption, the evil that's there, and then call men to repent. And look at what Jesus done. He was done calling them to repentance. You know, the Bible tells us back there in Genesis that God's Spirit won't always strive with man. There's a time where it's cut off, where men just, they will not listen. That la, 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 la. They're putting their fingers in their ears. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to come to the light lest their deeds be exposed. And so this is the point, I believe, in Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus is saying, I'm done with you. And here's how he lays it on them. Listen to this. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Does it sound like he's trying to win them to himself, or is he done doing that? Yeah, he's giving it to them. All these woes are, you're being judged. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. Woe to you, right? That's what he's doing. Verse 16, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. Ye fools and blind. Look at what he's calling them. Blind, fools, blind guides, hypocrites. For whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? See, he's calling out their hypocrisy. They're just looking for loopholes. Whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that sweareth by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. And then he goes again. Woe unto you, scribes. And he isn't even giving them a chance to breathe. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. They're all about religion, man. The tiniest little thing in their religious practice, they're all about that. Tithing, mint, and anise, and cumin. By the way, the tithe was these kinds of things. It was flocks. It was produce. It wasn't necessarily money. That was not necessarily the issue. It was always the first fruits from what the Lord had given them. But you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to done and not leave the other undone. It was fine that you were tithing these things, but you should have not left off law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Gosh, we almost see that in our government today, don't we? They want to show us all the stuff that they're saving on or allegedly saving on and all the things that they're doing and all, but they leave off these very things, the law and judgment, mercy and faith. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. He goes on, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. He goes on again, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And then he tells them, fill up the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? And I'm going to tell you what, there's only one means of escape, and that's the one that's speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Be right back.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBSradio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Per your request, if you're looking for unique and creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life: books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Again, go to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com and check out our store today. Hello, friends. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty. Just a quick heads up. Not only will we be doing events in Pensacola, Florida, but we will also be doing the Sons of Liberty Conference with Alex Newman and other guest speakers to be announced. This will take place at Grace Community Church, 1060 West Granada Boulevard, Ormond Beach, Florida, just outside of Daytona, April 22nd, 2025 at 6 to 8 p.m. Hope to see you there. A republic versus a democracy? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy.
Wow, this is the final segment, guys. Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Probably going to have to go over just a little bit because I do want to read you some other things. I know we saved Fair Sunshine for yesterday, and thank you for the messages from people who really got something out of that. Because I'm going to tell you what, I love these brothers and sisters, the Scottish Covenant. I love them. I can't wait to meet them with the Lord one day. I really can't. For what he did in their life, that's the grace of God. You want to see the grace of God in action? You read those stories. That is what the grace of God does. It empowers men to not just be men, but to die to themselves so that Christ might live through them. Fantastic thing. So I want to read some things about Luther. Maybe we'll get to it by the end. But just to point out, Matthew 23, he is laying it on those dudes. He's laying it on them. And not only is he laying it on them, but he comes up to the end and he talks about them filling up the measure of the fathers. He said, "Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets." He said, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers." Oh, Jesus never called anybody names. We called them what they were. Remember, he said their father was the devil, was the old serpent, that dragon, right? John, by the way, John the Baptist called him that too, didn't he? Called him a brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee the wrath of come, right? And he talks to him and he says, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you'll kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel and to the blood of Zerahiah, son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. And again, you know, I've told people those are the bookends of the Old Testament. That's how the Hebrew laid it out, was those two books. And that's why they were put up in the temple. And I really think that's why that you don't find some of the books that everybody says, oh, well, they got rid of them for this, that, and the other. They knew what was in the temple. They knew what was in there. But he says, go ahead and fill it up. And you're going to fill it up not only on me, but you're going to fill it up on my followers too. You're going to fill it up on my disciples and on my apostles. That's what Jesus said. But remember, we start in John chapter 8. Well, what happened after John chapter 8? In John chapter 9, Jesus was just, I mean, at every turn, he was making a fool out of these people. He was really making a fool out of them. Do you remember there were lepers, right? And they were healed. This isn't from John 9. This was before. Mark chapter 1. A leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. And moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Now, why was he to do that? Now, this guy went and he didn't do that. He just had to talk about it. Hey, this guy got rid of my leprosy, right? He didn't listen and obey what Jesus said. And why was that important? Because the priest was the one to declare whether or not the guy had been cured, had been cleansed of his leprosy. It was the priest's responsibility. It wasn't Jesus' responsibility. It was the priest's responsibility. And what he wanted to do was he wanted this guy to go in, bear witness that his leprosy was gone. The priest is going to examine him and say, yep, it's gone. How did this happen? Well, there was this guy, right? And he gets to testify to what Jesus did for him. And therefore, it wasn't something that would be manipulated. It would be something that the priest was agreeing with there. Okay? And then after, and you remember there were 10 of them before. And Jesus did the same thing with those guys. And one of them came back and he was very thankful. And Jesus says, where's the others? You know, he told them to go show themselves to the priest. And then we find in John chapter 9 this little story. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi or Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground, made mud with saliva, and he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him. And by the way, the Jews had a thing of you're not supposed to do that. So it's kind of like him poking a finger in their eye, pun intended there. We're talking about sin. It's like him poking a finger in their eye when he spat in the clay and he put it on the guy's eyes. And then he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went and washed and came back seeing. And the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. And he kept saying, I'm the man. So he said to them, then how are your eyes open? And he answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. And they said, where is he? And he said, I don't know. And they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. So they're going to take a guy who's been healed. He can see now. And they're going to take him up to the Pharisees. Well, we need to find out what went on here. Now, he's already told them twice. But okay, we're going to take him to the Pharisees. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see. And some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. And others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? Right there. There's biblical logic. If a guy's not from God, how does he make blind people see? Because they knew the other side of that was what? Steal, kill, destroy, right? That's what the enemy does. Christ came to bring life and life more abundant, right? And these people got it right. How can a man who is a sinner do such things? That doesn't make sense. That's not what we've been taught. That's not the God we know. And there was a division among them. So they, again, asked the blind man, what do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. They keep digging the hole deeper by keep asking the questions. And the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight. How did they not know that? It's a grown man. Until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? Then the parents answered, we know that he is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. He was to be, we would say it today, excommunicated, churched. He's out of the assembly of the people of God. They're not going to let him in anymore. So the parents said, well, we don't want that to happen to us. You ask him. We don't know. And they called the guy again in, and they said, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. I love this. I love the response. Whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. All I can tell you is I saw darkness for all these years, and this guy came along, and now I can see. I can tell you that. I don't know much more than that. You pick out whatever you want about the guy, but I tell you what, he gave me the ability to see. That I do know. And they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I don't know why in my head I have the Israeli or the Israelite Food and Drug Administration in my head. You got to tell us. You got to prove it. We got to have some scientific facts. We got to have a study. We got to pour money into this and find out exactly how he opened your eyes. And if you can't do that, then we're gonna have to deal with you legally. It's the same kind of stuff. It's the same kind of stuff. And they said to him, what did he do? How did he open your eyes? He said, I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you not want to hear it again? Or why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Oh, you know that just ticked them off big time. And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we're disciples of Moses. And that's their problem. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. All right. Catch us on the other side of this, sonsoflibertymedia.com or Rumble, Sons of Liberty Radio Live. We'll finish this up. And then, Lord willing, we're going to be back in the morning. We're going to be talking about real ID, how you can do something different if you want to go flying in March. Talk to you then. All right, want to welcome everybody coming over from the radio. And yeah, we're going to do that 6 a.m. tomorrow. You can catch us on the video platforms or Red State Talk Radio because we're not on the terrestrial radio stations that Bradley's on in the afternoon. All right, real quickly, and then I want to read something from Luther. But this is to show you that if he was opposing these people, how much more is he opposing that nation over there, that quote-unquote Jewish state that doesn't want Christians to spread the gospel there, that promotes sodomy on a level you haven't even seen in San Francisco in Tel Aviv, that promotes the idolatrous worship of their false gods over there. If Jesus was opposed to these Pharisees, if he was opposed to the Jewish leadership there, in such a way as he's been, How much more do you think he would be towards the one that is over in the Middle East and that postage stamp piece of land right now? The man answered these guys who were asking him about his site. He said, "Why? This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners." Now remember, he's talking to the religious dudes. They got the phylacteries on their foreheads with little scriptures in them. They got it bound on their arms, little scriptures. They want to talk about Moses, and they want to talk about the oral traditions, and they want to talk about the Talmud, and they want to do all this stuff. And this simple blind guy who's been able to see says, "It's an amazing thing. You guys don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes." Let me break this down for you guys. We know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. Do you hear this guy? Simple guy. He doesn't even really seem to be a disciple at this point. He's just like, I couldn't see before, now I can see. And I know that God doesn't listen to sinners. Right? We learned that from the Old Testament. And he says, since the world's been, nobody's ever heard of a guy who's been born blind having his eyes open. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Pretty simple, isn't it? And they answered him. They could have said, "You know what? You're right. We didn't think about that. We were so blinded by our hate of this man who's coming in to take our power away, we didn't even think about that." Nope. They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And guess what they did? And they cast him out. They cast him out. They desynagogued him. They excommunicated him. They didn't want him in their synagogues anymore. And look, I have heard story after story after story of this kind of stuff going on in Israel. It was about a couple of years ago, I think. I listened as a pastor read a letter he had received from a person in Israel who had become a Christian. And the guy wrote that after he became a Christian there in Israel, that his neighbors, the IDF, the government, the police, all of them were harassing him because he was a Christian. That's in Israel today. I know. They're friends of evangelicals. Until they get one over on you. Until they get one step up on you. And you already see it. I mean, I've got other videos and stuff I could play, but I'm not going to do that. I really want to get to this thing with Luther just so you hear some of what he dealt with in his day. But you've seen it. You've heard Thomas Massie talk about the AIPAC babysitters for the congressman. You've heard Pat Buchanan a long time ago speaking about Congress is Israeli occupied territory. They're not just content to stay over there. In their section, you can already see that. They've been attacking Libya. They've been attacking Syria. They've been attacking the people in Gaza. That's a straight-up genocide. That's a straight-up ethnical cleansing. There's no ethical cleansing. There's no doubt about that. That's what they're engaged in. And so Jesus not only would oppose the Jewish state today, he opposed it back then because it was corrupt. It was not doing what he and his father had taught them to do. They weren't doing it. They were putting on a show. You know, I've had friends who call themselves Jews. We've had some good discussions, and then some of them we've had, they've been kind of nasty. Some people, not all of them. So I want to make a distinction. I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush here. But these people that we're dealing with, that we're hearing over in Israel, some of these that we've seen some of the videos on, these are the kind of people that we're that Jesus was dealing with. Same mentality. It's the same mentality. And they're of their father, the devil. Now, I just want to read you just a little bit here from Luther, because again, Luther gets a lot of this, and we're probably going to go through this maybe on one of the morning shows, just to highlight some, if you've not read it, on the Jews and their lies. It was written in 1543 by Luther, and everybody says, oh, this is anti-Semitic, but if you read what he was trying to do, was he was trying to reach the Jews, so he would go down to the pub, he would go wherever they're at, and he would have discussions, and what he was blown away, he thought, well, they'll be, you know, they'll get the law and I can take the law and I can lead them to Christ and all this kind of stuff. And he found out, oh, these people are just blasphemous. They're antichrist. They have the spirit of antichrist. Because he found out they believe Jesus is in hell, boiling in boiling excrement. And they were blasphemous against the name of Christ. And he says, wait a minute, this is Protestant Germany, and we've got these brood of vipers? Let me ask you something. Think about that term there for a second. How many of you, if you found a brood of vipers around your house, you'd say, oh, it's okay, you have freedom to live here too, because God placed you on there. Or would you seek to get rid of them, knowing they're a danger to your family and yourself? Just asking, what would you do? You'd get rid of the brood of vipers, right? You don't want to get bit by them, and you don't want your kids getting bit by them, or your wife, or your pets, or anything else, right? You get rid of them. Well, that's the conclusion that Luther had come to. You know, I know a lot of people don't like hearing this, but the Bible talks about not letting such people have a place to talk. Have a place. Look, I don't have a problem having a discussion with somebody, but when these people start getting in positions, and you can read... there is a documentary called The City of Joel, or it might be written as Joel, up in New York. You ought to do yourself a favor and watch it. It's of a neighborhood of Jews, and you look at what they're doing there and how they're growing, and then you start seeing the dark underbelly of it where they don't want people leaving and getting out from under that control. It's very much like what Jesus was addressing with the Pharisees. But here's Luther. Now, bear with me just a little bit. There'll be some reading in this, but just bear with me, because I'm telling you, if you haven't heard some of this, and you're hearing what you hear in the news or other places, and they bring Luther in, and they start talking about Hitler and all this, there's some similarities in pointing out things, but I just want you to hear what he has to say. This is what he writes. This was in 1523, before he writes the book, okay? A new lie about me is being circulated. I'm supposed to have preached and written that Mary, the mother of God, I don't like really that term, but anyway, I'm supposed to have preached and written that Mary, the mother of God, was not a virgin either before or after the birth of Christ, but that she conceived Christ through Joseph and had more children after that. Above and beyond all this, I'm supposed to have preached a new heresy, namely, that Christ was, through Joseph, the seed of Abraham. How these lies tickle my good friends, the papists. And notice what he's going to do here. In just a little bit, you're going to see it. Luther was definitely against the papists, but he brings the papists in here with the Jews he's been dealing with. So listen to what he says. Indeed, because they condemn the gospel, it serves them right that they should have to satisfy and feed their hearts delight and joy with lies. I would venture to wager my neck that none of those very liars who allege such great things in honor of the Mother of God believes in his heart a single one of these articles. Yet, with their lies, they pretend that they are greatly concerned about the Christian faith. Isn't that something? But after all, it is such a poor, miserable lie that I despise it and would rather not reply to it. In these past 3 years, I have grown quite accustomed to hearing lies, even from our nearest neighbors. And they, in turn, have grown accustomed to the noble virtue of neither blushing nor feeling ashamed when they are publicly convicted of lying. They let themselves be chided as liars. Yet, continue their lying. Still, they're the best Christians, striving with all that they have and are to devour the Turk and to extirpate all heresy. Since for the sake of others, however, I am compelled to answer these lies, I thought I would also write something useful in addition so that I do not vainly steal the reader's time with such dirty, rotten business. Therefore, I will cite from Scripture the reasons that moved me to believe that Christ was a Jew born of a virgin, that I might perhaps also win some Jews to the Christian faith. That was what he was after. Our fools, listen to what he says about the Christians of the day. Our fools, the popes, bishops, sophists, and monks, the crude asses' heads, have hitherto so treated the Jews that anyone who wished to be a good Christian would almost have had to become a Jew. If I had been a Jew and had seen such dolts and blockheads, he's talking about the papists, govern and teach the Christian faith, I would sooner have become a hog than a Christian. So he's got some harsh words for the papacy as to what they're demonstrating. They're not living out Christ. It is not Christ living. They are wicked men. And when the Jews see those wicked men, they're not provoked to jealousy the way the Bible talks about. They see hypocrites. And they're hypocrites as well, as we saw in Matthew 23. Then he goes on and he says, they have dealt with the Jews as if they were dogs rather than human beings. Mm-hmm. They have done little else than deride them and seize their property. Let me tell you something. If you claim to be Jewish, I'm not looking to do any of that. I'm really not looking to do any of that. I'm not looking to harm you. I'm not looking to push Israel into the sea or any of that stuff. Okay? That's not my heart at all. My heart is one that, like what Luther said, is that is to win the Jews to Christ. But he goes on and he says, when they baptize them, they show them nothing of Christian doctrine or life, but only subject them to popishness and monkery. Sounds kind of like what the Pharisees did, right? They weren't showing and teaching the people the doctrine of God and of Christ. No, that's not what they were doing. They were teaching them all their rituals and the Jewish stuff of religion. That's what the papacy does. When the Jews then see that Judaism has such strong support in Scripture and that Christianity has become a mere babble without reliance on Scripture, how can they possibly compose themselves and become right good Christians? I have myself heard from pious baptized Jews that if they had not in our day heard the gospel, they would have remained Jews under the cloak of Christianity for the rest of their days. For they acknowledge that they have never yet heard anything about Christ from those who baptized and taught them. Isn't that a sad thing? Now, how would he know that unless he spent time with them talking? He heard from them. I hope that if anyone deals in a kindly way with the Jews and instructs them carefully from Holy Scripture, many of them will become genuine Christians and turn again to the faith of their fathers, the prophets, and the patriarchs. They will only be frightened further away from it if their Judaism is so utterly rejected that nothing is allowed to remain and they are treated only with arrogance and scorn. The apostles, who also were Jews, had dealt with us Gentiles as we Gentiles deal with the Jews, there would never have been a Christian among the Gentiles. Since they dealt with us Gentiles in such brotherly fashion, we in our turn ought to treat the Jews in a brotherly fashion or brotherly manner in order that we might convert some of them. For even we ourselves are not yet all far along, not to speak of having arrived. When we're inclined to boast of our position, we should remember that we are but Gentiles, while the Jews are the lineage of Christ. We are aliens and in-laws. They are blood relatives, cousins, and brothers of our Lord. Therefore, if one is to boast of flesh and blood, the Jews are actually nearer to Christ than we are, as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 9, verse 5. But remember, Romans 9 also said, not all who are of Israel are Israel, right? God has also demonstrated this by his acts. For to no nation among the Gentiles has he granted so high an honor as he has to the Jews. Far from among the Gentiles there have been raised up no patriarchs, no apostles, no prophets, indeed very few genuine Christians either. And although the gospel has been proclaimed to all the world, yet he committed the Holy Scriptures, that is, the law and the prophets, to no nation except that of the Jews. As Paul says in Romans 3:2 and Psalm 147:19-20. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation, nor revealed his ordinances to them. Real quickly, there's like three paragraphs here. And he draws a conclusion. Now let someone tell me, where will one find a prince or Messiah or king with whom all these accord so perfectly as with our Lord Jesus Christ? Scripture and history agree so perfectly with one another that the Jews have nothing they can say to the contrary. They certainly are painfully conscious of their destruction, which is immeasurably greater than any they have ever endured. They cannot point to any transgression so great that they would have merited such punishment because they feel it is not a sin that they crucified Jesus. I mean, look at what they're doing now. They're trying to force on us here in this country that we cannot criticize the modern Zionist state of Israel. If we criticize Judaism, it's anti-Semitism. This is what these people do. Don't say that we're the ones who killed Jesus, despite the fact that that's what the Bible says. And I'm not talking about these people. I'm talking about the Jews of the day. They were the ones who put him to death. And the scriptures are clear. And look, we're not going to change it. You can write all the laws you want. You can come try to enforce them all you want. We're not going to stop telling the truth about what went on in history regarding the Lord Jesus. We're just not going to do it. You can struggle with that all you want, and you're a fool for your pain for doing it. You really are. It would be unthinkable that God would leave them so long without prophets unless they were finished and all Scripture fulfilled. But there are still more prophecies, as for example in Haggai 2, where God says of the rebuilt temple, the splendor of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, which is also very conclusive. In Zechariah 8:23, in those days, 10 men of the languages of the Gentiles shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, we want to go with you, for we have heard that the Lord is with you, etc. There are many more, but it would take too long to discuss them all clearly and at length. For the present, the two prophecies just cited are enough for a beginning. And then he concludes with this. If the Jews should take offense because we confess our Jesus to be a man and yet true God, we will deal forcefully with that from Scripture in due time. But this is too harsh for a beginning. Let them first be suckled with milk and begin with recognizing this man Jesus as the true Messiah. After that, they may drink wine and learn also that he is true God. For they have been led astray so long and so far that one must deal gently with them as people who have been all too strongly indoctrinated to believe that God cannot be man. Therefore, I would request and advise that one deal gently with them and instruct them from the Scripture, then some of them may come along. Instead of this, we are trying only to drive them by force, slandering them, accusing them of having Christian blood if they don't stink. And I know not what other foolishness. So long as we thus treat them like dogs, how can we expect to work any good among them? Exactly right. We're to love them as ourselves, right? Even as Jesus loved, right? And again, we forbid them to labor and do business and have any human fellowship with us, thereby forcing them into usury. How is that supposed to do them any good? Now, understand something. This is written in 1523. This is 20 years before he writes the Jews and their lies. So he comes to them with hope, with compassion, with the gospel, with a heart that desires their repentance, their salvation, and that God would grant that to them graciously, you can see it in what he's writing here. And after spending time with these people and understanding that they've got the mindset of the brood of vipers that Jesus addressed, that John addressed, that were seeking to kill the apostles as well, they have the same mindset. And that's where he takes up a pen and he writes the Jews and their lies. He finds out what they're holding on to. And he says, this is not just a threat to their souls. This is a threat to the nation. This is an undermining of Germany. And so that's why he calls for their removal. So you can't keep these people in here. They're like traitors waiting to arise once they get the numbers. This is part of the thing we've talked about with Islam. You can see it all over the world. You can see as their numbers grow, they do certain things. And once they reach a certain percentage, they basically go on the attack to take over whatever government is there. Well, these guys aren't any different. They're not any different. So, would Jesus oppose the modern state of Israel? I think he would. These are the same people who are trying, again, they're stuck in the fleshly, the carnal, the earthy. They want to rebuild a temple, like a real temple. They want sacrifices. They've got this red heifer thing they've been going on for years, right? We've been hearing about that. We're told the Ark of the Covenant's still around. It's waiting to be unveiled. I've been hearing that for I don't know how many decades. They got to get a priesthood together. I don't know how they're going to figure that out. All the records were destroyed in 70 AD in the temple. This is why you can't really put a finger on the Messiah. All the records were in the temple. They were destroyed. Everybody's got hearsay about where they came from and who they came from and everything else. I'm just telling you, they do. There's no actual documented proof of where these people who call themselves Jews and are not came from. And I'm talking about the people they came from. Now, we know certain ones came from Khazaria, that we call them the Khazarians. We know some of that came. We know that even within Israel, among those who call themselves Jews, there are some who are Semitic. It's a very small percentage of them that are Semitic people. And then we know the other half of Israel are basically Arabs that live there. But again, Jesus would oppose that too. And he would call those who have ears to hear. If you've been listening to this and you've been saying, well, what's the point of pointing this out? I'm telling you, you aren't waiting on a Messiah to come. He's already come. You know, the prophet Daniel gave a specific time frame in which the Messiah would come and he would accomplish all his work. You can read it in Daniel chapter 9 at the end of the chapter. He gave a specific time when the Messiah would come, and Jesus knew it too. He told the Jews of his day, he said, you can look at the sky, you can see it's red, you're going to know when it's going to rain. But you don't know the day of your visitation. You didn't know these are the last days in which the Messiah would be sent to you and would accomplish all that had been prophesied about him in Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. You didn't know that. Now you do. And the question is, what are you going to do? You're going to keep hanging on. I mean, you guys don't even have the shadows anymore. You don't even have the types anymore. Even your feasts aren't what they are laid out to be in the scriptures. This is what I kept telling the Jewish friend of mine. We'd have some great conversations about the law. And I would go, bro, you know, look, man, I'm here and I keep all of that stuff perfectly because I'm in Christ. All those things were pointing to Christ. He's the reality. They're just the commercial, right? If I can use a fleshly kind of example here, how many of you guys, maybe you've got a tool that you want to get, right? A couple of years ago, I needed to cut down a bunch of trees and a bunch of other stuff and this, that, and the other. And I was like, I really need a chainsaw. I didn't want to spend the money on it, but I needed a chainsaw. So I went and I was looking up chainsaws and I was trying, you got to know me, I'm frugal. I try to get the best deal. If I can put a coupon on it, this, that, and the other, and do all these things and get it for dirt cheap, I'm going to try to get it dirt cheap. But I'm not going to buy a cheap chainsaw because chainsaws are good working equipment and I don't want something cheap if I'm going to be having a spinning blade around it, right? So you look at them, you check the prices, you save up the money, you get ready to get it, and you order it, and it comes. Let me ask you something. How many of you guys go back and continue to look at the advertisements and read up, watch all the videos on, you know, the comparison of the different chainsaws you look at? How many of you guys do that? None of you do that, do you? You go and use the chainsaw, don't you? The same thing's true here. All of that stuff, the feast, and the tabernacle, and the temple, and the priesthood, and the sacrifices, and all the utensils that were used there, and even the patriarchs, and the people that you read there, and the psalms that are written, and all of that, and all the stories you read in the Old Testament, all of them speak about Christ. They speak about the reality, Luke 24:44. They speak about Him. Why would you continue to mess around with the shadows and the types or the commercials, as my very rough example is? Why would you stay on that? You got the reality. You got a chainsaw. Go cut some trees down, right? Cut them up. You got the Lord Jesus. You don't need to be playing around with all this other stuff. It's done away with. It's fulfilled in Christ. It's complete. And yet we still have people playing with the toys instead of basking in the reality of the Messiah who was promised to come to save them from their sin. And why do they do that? Well, the Bible tells us that when Moses is read, there's a veil over their eyes. And we need to pray that the Lord would remove the veil of those people's off the people's eyes, that they might see clearly the Christ. And boy, that's my prayer now. If there's a person out there that claims to be a Jew and you're not, but you claim to be that, I'm hoping that the Lord will open up your eyes. You can go all the way back through the Old Testament and you can see it. You can see Christ. You can see Him in the ark. You can see Him in the feasts. You can see Him in the sacrifices. You can see Him in the priesthood. You can see Him in the people that you read about in the Old Testament, whether it's David or whether it's Solomon or whether it's Abraham or whether it's any of the guys in the Old Testament. You read about it in Hebrews. It talks about how these guys, they were faithful and all this other stuff. But Jesus is greater than them. You can talk about angels, and Jesus is greater than them. You can talk about your old covenant. You can talk about the Abrahamic covenant. You can talk about the Adamic covenant. You can talk about the Davidic covenant. And guess what? Jesus is not only a fulfiller of those things, He is greater than those things. Quit playing with the shadows. Quit playing with the types. Embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as this blind man, we read about it earlier. He didn't even know who he was, but he said, I got enough sense to know that God doesn't listen to sinners. And from the beginning of the world, nobody's opened up the eyes of the blind, the one who's been blind, but He opened up my eyes. And the people who didn't want to hear that testimony kept asking the same questions until they were just tired of hearing it, and they cast the one giving the testimony out from their midst. Will you be one who casts me out because I'm telling you the truth? You know, as Paul says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I'm not looking to get one up on. I really hope there are people who will listen to this broadcast and they'll go and look at it themselves and say, wait a minute, we missed something here. We've been deceived. Yeah, you've been deceived by the same people with the same mindset that Jesus was addressing there in Matthew chapter 3 and John chapter 8. You've been deceived by the same people. Run to the one who is the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, I say it a lot. If you want mercy from God, you can have it. But you got to meet him on his terms. And his terms are, you must be born again. You must repent of your sin. And you must put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit yourselves unto God. That's, you got to do it. And you know what? God is so gracious that he gives us everything he demands of us in Christ. Amen? That's exactly what he does. That's exactly what he does. All right. In the morning, we're going to cover real ID and also some alternatives to that, because you've probably been told, like I have, you can't fly after May 7th if you don't have the real ID. And I know there's some people in our audience who do flights. I'd just soon not fly. But I felt like this is an important thing and why real ID is such a threat, and then provide some alternatives that you're not hearing about. We'll talk about that 6 a.m. bright and early tomorrow morning, and then, Lord willing, I'll be back with you tomorrow afternoon as well. We'll see you then.